Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and hope to be joined shortly by Father Doug McKay. Not sure where he is right now, but I talked to him a little while ago, so he should be here momentarily. First, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thanks for being with us today. We look forward to bringing you the last edition of Saints and Sinners for 2017. Father and I are taking next Wednesday off, so we'll have a repeat on for you, but this will be our last show of the year. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Also, Father and I are available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website, or you can get in touch with Maureen here at In His Sign, and she'll put you in touch with Father or I. Happy to report we got an invite to come out to parish up in East Greenville. That's going to take place on February the 20th. I have the privilege of we'll go up there and speak about addiction and Calyx and anything else that's on those in attendance mind. Be a great opportunity to ask questions and what have you. So if you can make it, again, I forget the name of the parish offhand. I'll look it up at the break. But it'll be February the 20th up in East Greenville, Pennsburg area. Also, coming up in January, a couple of healing masses that are, a healing mass and a mass for the addicted that are starting. Father and I, along with a couple other folks from Our House Ministries, are going to start a Matt Talbot mass and healing service that's going to happen on the first Friday of each month. And we're going to celebrate that at St. Gabriel's Parish at 29th and Dickinson in South Philadelphia. The mass will begin shortly after 8 o'clock. There's a meeting that goes on catty corner to the church on Friday nights that lets out at 8 o'clock. So we want to start mass, give those folks a chance to come over that want to come over. And so we'll probably start mass around 8:15. And this is something that's been going on in Ireland for years. And we learned about it a couple of years ago, and we finally got around to implementing. So on Monday, January 5th, a few minutes after 8 o'clock, we'll begin Mass. Father McKay will celebrate Mass, and then we'll have a healing service after with a relic of Matt Talbot. So all are welcome to join us. There'll be off-street parking behind the Matt Talbot Chapel. The address for the parking lot, if you put it in your GPS, would probably be 1448 South Dover Street, 1448 South Dover. And the church is a half a block away on, the corner of 29th and Dickinson. The entrance is on 29th Street. There's also a bunch of street parking available on Dickinson Street. But this will be our inaugural one on Friday, January the 5th. But we're hoping that it becomes popular, and we really start to fill that church on the first Friday each month. All are welcome to come, but especially those who are either struggling with addiction and recovery from addiction, or a loved one or a family member, friend of somebody that struggles with addiction. Come on out and join us for Mass, and then healing service after. Also, a good friend of the Calyx Society, a gentleman by the name of Michael Collins, has been putting together Masses for the Addicted quarterly. And we had one at the Cathedral earlier this year. There was one also up in Spring City earlier this year. And the next one Michael put together is going to be held on Saturday, January the 27th. That's Saturday, January the 27th at St. Eleanor's Church. The Mass itself is going to be in Our Lady's Chapel. St. Eleanor's is up there in Collegeville. And the Mass is going to be Saturday, January the 27th at 11 a.m. Confession will be available ahead of time from 10 to 10:45, while there's also adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament in the chapel. So all are welcome. These Masses are offered for all those that struggle with addiction. So if you, a family member, friend, loved one, anybody you know is struggling with addiction, please come out and join us for Mass. I don't think there's anything greater that we can offer for those that are struggling with addiction. And Father's joined us. Hello, Father.
How are you doing, Ken?
All right, pal. How are you?
My phone died, and I couldn't find the number.
Uh-oh. Yeah, well, better late.
Your moment.
Yeah, that's all right. Better late than never, and yeah. You haven't really missed anything other than I don't know if you could hear, I had just announced our Masses that are going to start on the first Friday of each month with Mass and the Matt Talbot Healing Service. And then I was actually had a conversation today with Michael Collins about the next Mass that he put together. It's going to be up at St. Eleanor's on Saturday, January the 27th at 11 o'clock. So let's begin the show with prayer. We have two patrons of this show, really. It's the Venerable Matt Talbot, who we keep praying one day will be canonized as Saint of the Catholic Church, and also Our Lady of Recovery. And we usually begin the show with a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. So begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Amen. Our Lady of Recovery.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot.
Pray for us.
Peter Canisius.
Pray for us.
St. John of Canty.
Pray for us.
St. Stephen.
Pray for us.
St. John.
Pray for us.
And all the holy innocents.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I think I just canonized Venerable Matt Talbot.
That's all right. You canonized him. Father Lawless made you the president or what have you, the National Shrine to Matt Talbot.
The director, right. Yeah,
yeah, the National Director. There you go.
Got some authority here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is a one-hour call-in show. Feel free to call in and join in the conversation. This is like Father McKay and I are hanging out in the living room. You're more than welcome to call in and join us. Number 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. And maybe you're listening from a distance via our website. You can get us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. And I'm in a given mood, being we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. So anybody that calls in today, you'll get a free copy of Father McKay's new book entitled My Anointing Echoes. And we'll even throw in a relic card for Matt Talbot.
They're going quick. Hurry up and call in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think Father had 3,000 printed and half of them are gone. So if you want one or need one, you better call in today.
And my sister's over here, Ken, said, I didn't know Father McKay was so bad. I said, she doesn't know the half of it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what this show's all about, saints and sinners. Every sinner's got a past, every saint's got a past, every sinner's got a future.
Amen.
So, even before we go to the saints, our friend Delroy is already on the line. Father, I'm going to go ahead and get Delroy. Hello, Delroy.
Hello, good evening. How you doing?
All right, how are you tonight? Delroy, are you there? I lost you, Delroy.
Good evening.
You're going in and out, Delroy.
Hold on, hold on. Probably the radio.
Well, while Delroy's getting his phone straightened out there.
Yeah, I'll turn the radio off.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to ask Ken, did he do that for me?
Yeah, it's on its way.
Okay, all right.
Is that it?
Yes, and I need you to give me some more prayer. You know, I always love prayer. And you're giving away a book and something. I would like to get it to. I have my address there.
Okay, I got it. We'll get one off to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, pal. Be good. Yes. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right.
You and Father. Tell Father I said Merry Christmas, you know?
He can hear you.
Thank you. I can hear you, Delroy. Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, and you know what, Ken?
Yo.
My little grandson, what I was talking about, he leave for England on Monday. He's 7, so praise God, he reached, you know?
Very good. What's his name?
My wife could come now, so we don't have to worry about that because we're worrying about that, too. So.
Yeah.
She's just waiting on one more call from the immigration, so and everything will be fast.
Awesome.
So I'm asking everybody to keep that in prayer for me, the warriors.
Please. Right. So for all those that are listening, Delroy's been trying to get his wife here from Jamaica for quite a while now. She's going through all the proper channels, and it sounds like it's getting close. So let's pray that early in the new year we get over this hurdle and he and his wife can be reunited.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Delroy. Good to hear from you.
God bless you.
You too.
All right. Bless bye-bye.
You. Okay, we're off to a good start. We got our first caller.
There we go. One book going to Delroy.
Yeah.
So the Saints that were being celebrated, when Father and I were talking last night, it seemed like it was pretty light until we realized we're not this was going to be the last show of the year. We won't be with you live next week. So we celebrate tomorrow on the 21st, St. Peter Canisius. On Saturday the 23rd, St. John of Canty. On Monday the 25th, of course, we're going to celebrate Christmas and the birth of our Lord. On the 26th, St. Stephen. Wednesday the 27th is St. John. Thursday the 28th is the Feast of Holy Innocents. And on Friday the 29th, it'll be Thomas Becket. So, not sure how many we're going to get through today, but we'll go ahead and get started with Peter Canisius. Peter's also known as the Second Apostle of Germany. Maybe we'll throw out a trivia question. If somebody can call in and give us the first Apostle of Germany, not you. Somebody calls in and tells us who the first Apostle of Germany is. We'll not only send you a copy of Father's Mayan Winning Echoes, but we'll throw in a copy of his first book, Heaven's Homecoming. All right? So try not to use Google, but if you have to, so be it. Anyway, call in and we'll get you both of those books if you got the right answer for the first apostle of Germany. Anyway, Peter Canisius was the second apostle of Germany, born in 1521 on May the 8th. And he would die on December the 21st, 1597. Pretty smart dude. He got his master's degree at the age of 19 at the University at Cologne. And after that, he would meet up with Peter Faber, who was the first disciple of Ignatius of Loyola. So that would tell us that Peter Canisius would become a Jesuit. He would be a Jesuit priest. Again, busy guy, for those, it was funny, I was reading one reflection, it says that, you know, if you think the saints weren't busy and that all they were contemplatives, you just need to look to Peter Canisius and see how active this guy was. He would study, he would do reflection and prayer and writing. After his ordination, which was in 1546, he became known for his editions of the writings of St. Cyril of Alexandria and St. Leo the Great. And so he was quite a writer. And also because of when he lived and I guess how smart this guy was, in 1547 he would attend several sessions of the Council of Trent and would later implement them. And after that he would really do a lot of his work in Germany, as mentioned, and he was entrusted with the mission to Germany. where he would spend almost the rest of his life, although he wouldn't die there. At 70, he suffered a paralytic seizure, but through his secretary, he was able to continue to preach and write, and he would eventually die in his hometown, and I know I would butcher it if I said it, Nijmegen in the Netherlands, on December the 21st, 1597. St. Peter Canisius.
Yeah, you mentioned that he had the degree at the age of 19, and yet he accused himself of wasting time as a boy in unprofitable amusements. So he had to be pretty intelligent, you know, because he did get that master's degree at the age of 19. But he made that Ignatian retreat, and something stirred in his heart. And then he joined the Jesuits. And also Ignatius himself put him at his side and kept him there. And he proved him to be a model religious and prepared him to go anywhere and to do anything. Of course, as you said, he went to Germany, and there he inspired St. Aloysius, who also entered the Jesuits. But Peter Canisius wrote three catechisms, one long, one short, and one short. But he said that this is for you and me, Ken. If you have too much to do, with God's help, you will find time to do it all. You know, like you said, that contemplatives were great workers. Mm. And it was, they got that fire within first, and then they went out with that great zeal to really spread the gospel. And I just wanted to read something that, you know, the saints, they have these infusions of grace, infusions of enthusiasm, of stamina, this energy. But here is something, you know, that he writes about in the office of his spiritual experience. And I quote, "At length it was as if you opened to me the heart in your most sacred body." Here's the sacred heart. "I seemed to see it directly before my eyes. You told me to drink from this fountain, inviting me, that is, to draw the waters of salvation from your wellsprings, my Savior. I was most eager that streams of faith, hope, and love should flow into me from that source. I was thirsting for poverty, chastity, and obedience. I asked to be clothed, to be wholly clean by you, to be made resplendent by you. So after daring to approach your most loving heart and to plunge my thirst in it, I received the promise from you of a garment made of three parts. These were to cover my soul in its nakedness and to belong especially to my religious profession. And these three parts were peace, love, and perseverance. Protected by this garment of salvation, I was confident that I would lack nothing, but all would succeed and give you glory." You know, these kind of experiences, they're set ablaze on fire. And when the Lord wants something from his people, or from his saints, it's him, it's himself, that he touches the hearts, he melts them down. And, you know, as Paul would say, "I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me." And a saint is someone that Christ shines through. And this can only happen by having these kind of really deep experiences of Jesus, this felt love. You know, it doesn't really have to be visions or locutions, but it certainly has to be a knowing of his presence, a knowing of that loving heart of his. They said that at the end, you know, he would regain so many lapsed Catholics, you know, converted heretics, that fire was just so contagious that it was touching so many. Just thinking of St. Aloysius, how he just inspired him to become a Jesuit. But they said he occupied himself teaching and hearing confessions. Confessions. Here we are coming up to our Christmas time, you know, preparation for Christmas. We're making all kinds of preparations, you know, shopping, baking cookies, preparing meals, whatever. But the greatest preparation here is to get ready sacramentally to receive Christ in confession, to have all our sins clean. Confession is the greatest preparation we make for our Holy Communion. So we want to make this preparation not only for our Holy Communion, but also to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, his coming here, that we celebrate the birthday 2,000 years ago, but especially that he's here now in the mystery of his Eucharistic presence, and to be prepared to receive him when he comes in that majesty to bring us home to our Father where we all belong, Ken.
Amen.
These saints, they're just so inflamed with God's love, and they show that. So St. Peter Canisius, priest and doctor, pray for us. And this was the other thing with the inspiration of Ignatius. You know, he this quote of his, "Oh, Jesus, I promise you to submit myself to all that you permit to happen to me, to all that you permit to happen to me. Make me only know your will." That was the big thing with Ignatius, the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with all the saints. Yeah. Thy will be done, Lord, not my will.
Yeah.
We're afraid of our wills, but not his wills. So these saints, they inspire us to really live the gospel and to move close to Jesus, especially that heart of his, and to open our hearts to receive the blessings and the graces and the gifts that he so much wants to pour to each and every one of our hearts, especially here at this Christmas time. I know it's his birthday, and we're supposed to give him a present, but I think even mothers, you know, when mothers have celebrate their birthdays and all the children are around and the mother got all these gifts, you know, she lets the kids open up the gifts, and then the kids think that the presents are theirs. And it's the same way here with Christmas, that our Lord is so giving. He wants to give us all Christmas gifts, Christmas blessings, by just trusting in him and praying and opening our hearts to receive his heart, his blessings, his graces, his mercy, his transforming love.
Amen. One thing I was thinking about Canisius today, it just reminded me of being a kid. And the only time I ever heard the word Canisius is when Big Five basketball on Friday night, and one of the Big Five teams would be playing Canisius. And I think it was probably 30 years after that I finally realized who they, you know, what the school was about. But we got another caller, Father. I'm going to bring Charlie on. Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
Brother
hey,
Kenny,
Charlie.
Father Doug. Okay. St. Boniface.
There you go.
Ah, bingo. The blues are all coming down.
I had my saintly wife find it for me.
There you go. There you go. Well, I got your address in front of me from the beautiful letter that you sent us. So we'll get them off to you.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a tape show today or not.
Yeah,
thank
now
God it was live. Yeah.
Yeah, we're live today, taping next week.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I could use that that relic card or a...
Oh, absolutely.
For Matt Tupper, yeah, for my son, who's he has alcohol problems, my son.
Okay.
I won't listen to anybody. He's stubborn like I was. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I could use the help.
You got it, pal. Good to hear from you.
I really like called to say have a blessed Christmas, both of you guys.
And you do the same.
Little angels don't even know it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's how I look at it.
I appreciate the sentiment. And
yeah, you guys are great.
Thank you.
There should be more like you around.
Well.
There's not enough of you guys.
Well, we try and really appreciate the compliments and the support you've given us, especially the last few months, getting in touch with us and all to let us know you're listening and to put your faithfulness to the show in words and what have you. So wish you and your wife and your son and all the...
I got, 23 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren.
God bless you.
Oh, I'm an old man.
Yeah.
I'm an old man.
Yeah, you sound like you're trying to catch up to Kathleen.
Yeah.
But anyway, to the whole Lackner clan, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy 2018. We look forward to hearing from you when we get back in the new year.
Okay, you guys too.
All right.
God bless you both.
Thanks, Charlie.
God bless you, Father Doug.
Thanks, Charlie. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
You too.
All right. Well, we'll have to come up with another trivia question. It got Charlie to jump on the horn. And we've given away more books today than we have in the last 2 months, I think, Father. And we're not even halfway through.
Yeah, the spirit's moving, Ken.
There you go. Well, we still got a few minutes before we go to the break. And I don't have a whole lot on our next saint, whose feast day is Saturday the 23rd, St. John of Canty. And... he was born June 24th, 1390, would die December 24th, 1473. So for a gentleman that lived 83 years, I wasn't able to find a whole lot. He was from Poland. He went to the University of Krakow, was ordained a priest and became a professor of theology. Had some turmoil in his life, just like most saints do. But in the end, he would win his people's hearts. And after time, he returned to Krakow and taught scripture for the remainder of his life. What I found interesting about him is that at one point he had made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and actually hoping to be martyred by the Turks. And we've come across this before, Father, where, you know, guys actually, and gals, I suppose, actually sought out martyrdom. And I'm not sure if they thought that that was like an automatic pass to heaven. They couldn't wait to get there or what have you. But anyway, I had read that John was, that was like his goal would be to get martyred on his way there. Later, he would make four subsequent pilgrimages to Rome. And interesting, he always carried the luggage on his back. And
everything he had.
Yeah, yeah. And it says a lot. I mean, we've talked a lot about detachment, and I always love the story. It's not really a story, but when you compare it to the residents at Holy Family Home, and you know how over time you essentially everything that you own can fit in a backpack, I guess, just like John Canty would take with him. So, but people,
pockets in the shroud.
Yeah.
What's that? No U-Haul behind a hearse.
Right, exactly.
Take it with you.
That's right.
Naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he really led a strict life, and he was warned, you know, to take care of his health. And he pointed to the desert fathers, you know, who lived long lives. You know, and I was thinking of St. Anthony of Egypt. St. Anthony of Egypt lived to be 105 years old. They said he lived on, like, oil and dates and a little bit of water, 105. Not a tooth in his head was worn. So he would point to these desert fathers that, you know, this was help. And, you know, he's right, though. They're right when they were pointing the finger at him, because don't try it at home ourselves. You know, some people have this special calling to live those kind of lives, and you know, the rest of us really have to take care of our bodies. I keep thinking of St. Francis of Assisi. I think he would have lived a lot longer if he wasn't malnourished. But we didn't know all the health things way back then, the appetites and the vitamins and all that we know today. But he did go blind probably from malnutrition. But nevertheless, that we pamper our bodies today. You know, we do very little self-denial, if anything. You know, St. Francis de Sales would always say, you know, you have a meal, deny yourself something in that meal, whether it be the potato, the peas, you know, something, you know, and then enjoy the rest of it. But have those little self-denials throughout the day. That's what these great saints teach us, the value of denial. Mm-hmm. He would always wear the, you know, shabby cassock, you know. But one of the things that struck with me, Ken, was that when he was the chair, when he held the chair in the University of Krakow, there was a lot of jealousy over him. And I kind of pushed him out, and he went to be a parish priest. And at first, the parishioners didn't really like him. But later, he won the people's hearts. And then when he was transferred back to the university, the parishioners accompanied him part of the way there. And they grieved at his transfer. And he said this, quote, he said, "The sadness does not please God. If I have done any good for you, sing a new song of joy for me." And then he would tell his pupils, you know, to fight all false opinions, but let your weapons be patience, sweetness, and love. Isn't that the best way to fight our enemies, the know-it-alls? You know, just be patient, let them have their say, and then just to love and get the point across, the truth. He said that roughness is bad for your own soul, and it spoils the best cause. So not to be rough, you know, because sometimes we can let people push our buttons, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden that we're losing our peace, our joy, our communion with God. And so, you know, here John Canty is really teaching us, you know, to just be humble-hearted and simple and simplistic and gentle, meek and humble like Jesus. And that way we can really win people over to the truths of our salvation instead of trying to jam things down the throat. But I often think of that jealousy, the green-eyed monster, you know. It's like when you see something good, praise that good in that person, because that good is not coming from that person. It's coming through that person, but it's coming from God himself. And when we praise someone's talents and goodness and intelligence, gifts, then we're really praising the Lord, you know, and we're thanking that person for really cooperating with these wonderful gifts of God. When he was dying, he said this: never mind about this prison, meaning his body, which is decaying, but think of the soul that is going to leave it.
Amen.
And the soul. I just think of that supreme moment, you know, when we see God in that image and likeness that we can't really see right now, but that's there in our hearts where God dwells. And when that's revealed to us and we see that our image in his image and likeness, what a beautiful sight that's going to be in that beatific vision. And it's going to be all this whole world, all these struggles and difficulties, these ups and downs, these valleys, hardships. You know, it's all worth it compared to what we're going to be called to see in the glory of God. And that transformation in us when we do come to him, and all of our love is just purified, and we're just like God in so many wonderful ways, because God doesn't make junk. We make the junk, but he's the greatest junk collector in the world. But what this reminds me of is when I was hearing confessions there with the Pink Sisters on Green Street, and one of the nuns gave me, in fact, this is in Heaven's Homecoming, one of the nuns gave me, she said to me, Father, would you like to see a miracle of nature? I said, sure I would. So she handed me a cylinder, a see-through cylinder, with a cocoon of a monarch butterfly in the cocoon, and it was hanging on a thread. She says, now take this, be careful with the turns and the bumps, and soon you will see a miracle of nature. So I said, sister, are you trying to get an easy penance from me? And she kind of chuckled. But I took it and put it on my desk, and every morning I woke up, I would look at this cocoon hanging from a thread. And it was nothing. Nothing was happening for a whole week. And I figured, you know, I think this is kaput. I think it's dead. I'm just going to throw it out. And then I said, let me give it one more day. And it was the eighth day. That's what really hit me, the eighth day, the octave, you know, new life. So anyway, I get up in the morning and I look and I see this beautiful monarch butterfly, the designer lines through it, the orange and the black. And it's just kind of moving its wings, drying them out. And sister said, give it a day, let the wings dry, and take it out and let it fly away. So I took it out into the garden, and there it was, you know, it plopped right on my finger. It kind of looked at me, and I looked at it, this creature. And then it kind of flew off my index finger up into, like, towards the blue skies, the puffy white clouds, and then landed on the flowers in the garden to suck the nectar. And what hit me was this: if God does this for a creature, a caterpillar, that was, you know, took forever to go wherever it was going and eating dirt. And all of a sudden now it's soaring and flying and eating the nectars, the finer foods of life. He did this for a low creature, an insect. What's he got in store for you and me and all of us, all the listeners, when that glory appears and we see him as he is and we become like he is, because we are children of our Heavenly Father. So that story came to mind when he said, when you're dying, never mind about this prison which is decaying, but think of the soul that is going to leave it. Just like that caterpillar to that butterfly.
Very good. That takes us to the bottom of the hour, Father. So we're going to take a short break. For our listeners, don't go away. We're coming right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy, in particular, has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Again, your host Ken Johnston and Father Doug McKay, and we're talking about the Saints from this past week, and we'll get into the Saints for next week in just a minute. Just a reminder that Father and I also got together some 10 years ago as a result of our joint interest in the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is that we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father and I get together with a whole bunch of folks now. We get upwards of 30, 40 people that join us in the annex building to St. Gabriel's Parish. It's at the corner of 30th and Dickinson, and the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood. Come on up to the third floor on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock for a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. We have a new unit at St. Patrick's in Norristown. They get together on the second and fourth Saturdays of each month, so they'll be getting together this Saturday, the 23rd. Real small unit, so if numbers scare you, this would be a great place to get together with Paul and Janet and anybody else that comes out. They meet with for the 4 p.m. vigil Mass, and then there's a meeting in the school right after. So that'll be this Saturday at St. Patrick's in Norristown. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets at 7 o'clock on the first and third Tuesday of the month in the parish center. Their next meeting will be on Tuesday, January the 2nd. And last but certainly not least, the unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media gets together on the second Monday of the month. So they'll be getting together next on Monday, January the 8th. They start with a rosary at 6:15 in the Adoration Chapel, followed by a Calyx meeting in the brick building across the lawn from the chapel. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a unit that gets together every Wednesday, so they're getting together tonight. 6 o'clock Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. For information about the Delaware unit, you can go to calyxde.org, calyxde.org. And for the Philadelphia information, check out phillycalyx.com. Father and I are available to give talks in your parish or other groups. Get in touch with Maureen here at In His Sign or visit the Our House Ministries website and get in touch with us. We'd love to come out and spend an evening or afternoon or morning, whenever you decide, but come out and get together with you. Last but not least, at 5 o'clock today, I'm going to be joined by Edward Feaser to discuss his new book, Five Proofs of the Existence of God. It'll be an interesting show coming up at 5 o'clock.
Sounds like Thomas Aquinas.
A little bit. It's Thomas and Aristotle and Plato and Augustine and a whole lot of stuff that I don't know anything about. So I'm going to learn a lot at 5 o'clock, and if our listeners stick around, I think they'll learn quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I remember the first cause, the unmoved mover. You know, but it's been so long since my seminary days studying all that.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
You get to the point, Ken, where you know he exists.
That's right. That's right.
You know it in your heart. He reveals himself.
All right. Well, in the first segment, we covered Peter Canisius and John of Canty, who we celebrate this week. Next week, we got Christmas on Monday, the birth of our Lord, Stephen on Tuesday, John on Wednesday, the Holy Innocents on Thursday, and Thomas Becket on Friday. So we got somebody every day to start the octave of Christmas. Yeah. That's one of the beauties of the church, too. They give us 8 days to celebrate Christmas, not just the one, right, Father?
Yeah, right.
You know?
The octave.
Yep. So, how much do you want to say about Christmas?
Well, I'll tell you, you spent the rest of the time on it, right? The Word becomes flesh.
Yeah, we could. We could. I mean, it's probably the one single day in the last, in the 5,000 years of human history and the billions of years that the planet, has existed. But it's that one day, that one moment just changed the world forever. And, like you were saying earlier, a lot of times we're rushing around and we're worried about gifts and preparations for the worldly things that we need to take care of for Monday. But it can almost be overwhelming if you sit back and just take a minute to think about, what the impact was of that day in Bethlehem when Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was born.
Right.
And it changed everything, and how this one little baby would grow into a man and just change everybody's approach up till that time. I think in the Old Testament, some of them got a handle on it, but sooner or later, a lot of times the power would go to their heads. We see it with David and Solomon and some of the other leaders who, they were human. And here comes Jesus Christ born on Christmas Day and just completely changed the way we look at life and look at our leaders. And, the one thing that always sticks out with me is this humility, that he came not as a king and not as a warrior, but as a baby and as a humble servant. And one of the things I've been blessed to learn over the years, especially in recovery, is that whole idea of being that humble servant. And that doesn't mean I live up to it every day, but that's the aspiration now. And, whatever we can do for each other, whatever we can do for God is what comes first, huh?
Yeah, Ken. That humility of God. Said that the Word becomes flesh there on March 25th at Mary's Yes, but the Word that made flesh comes into the world there on Christmas Day. And you see that little baby, silent night, the shepherds around and the angels and the quiet and the silence of the night. Here's our God. What humility. Mm-hmm. I know you read the article that I just wrote in our newsletter and also for our Calyx article, was there's no greater condescension than that, than for God to become man. Often think about, if I can become an ant, which I wouldn't, that wouldn't be as low as God becoming man, because if I become an ant, it's a creature becoming a creature. But here, this is the Creator becoming a creature. Talk about humility. Wow. Love
yeah.
stoops, and that was stooping way down. Why? To lift us way up. To be like him, to live forever, immortal, like the angels. Just to take it all in, it's just so deep, that God, this is God, this is our God, becomes one of us so that we may become one with him, that he came to pay a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we cannot pay. And he comes, his name is Jesus, to forgive our sins, to destroy death itself, the greatest enemy of all. And then eternal life, his very own life, for God loved the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him will never die, but have that eternal life, divine life, immortal life, incorruptible life, glorious life, God's very own life. Wow.
Amen. Incredible, huh? And that he would pass it on to each of us. So, like we said, we could probably talk about Christmas for a whole week. But we won't get to anything else. And I do, I will probably say it at the end of the show, but want to wish all of our listeners a merry and blessed and holy Christmas come Monday.
Yeah. Maybe before we go on to Stephen, the other saints, Ken?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about, you know, I lost my mom, and I know there's so many of our listeners that are listening that this is their first Christmas without their loved ones. You know, and you know, I ran into so many people. They said, Father, I know you lost your mom. I lost my mom, or I lost my dad, or I lost my son this year. And that Christmas might not be the same as it was last year. And it's like, yeah, it should be the same. You know, put out more Christmas lights, you know, eat more cookies, you know, because it's what it's all about is that Christmas is all about that there is no death, that it's immortality, eternal life with God. But it is tough for all of us at first Christmas, but it's our faith that gets us through, and we know that our loved ones are really with God. And if we're with God, then our loved ones are with us. But maybe if I can just read that poem, because I know there's so many listeners that are really kind of hurting and sorrowful, missing their loved ones for the first time with this first Christmas. It's called My First Christmas in Heaven. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular. Please wipe away the tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sound of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart, but I am not so far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear. And be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I sent you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always most important in the stories Jesus told. Please love and keep each other, as my Father said to do. For I can't count the blessings or love he has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. It's a very consoling poem. You know, yeah. Our loved ones are home for Christmas.
There you go. Very good, Father. Well, so we celebrate Christmas on Monday, followed up the next day by the Feast of St. Stephen, one of the first deacons in the church. So to all of my deacon friends and all the deacons here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia as well as around the world, I don't know if they actually celebrate it as their own feast day, but, you know, a happy feast day to all the deacons as you know, we see in the Acts of the Apostles that the apostles wanted felt a need to spend more time in prayer, and another group of folks to do a lot of the works to take care of the widows and the orphans and what have you, and so they appointed seven, of which Stephen was one. He's mentioned a couple of times in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, including a great speech that he gave, including the history of Israel. But eventually, they would turn on him, and like so many of our saints that have been turned on, and would stone him to death. And even Paul was there as Saul, before he was Paul, of course. And so St. Stephen became, I don't know, was he the first martyr, Father, or the close to it if he wasn't?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, John the Baptist was really before Jesus, the first martyr after, really, yeah.
Right. So, first martyr, one of the first deacons.
Yep.
And so, somebody that, multiple reasons for us to celebrate on Tuesday.
Yeah. But you're right, Ken. You know, just that, again, you know, saints, it's really someone whom Jesus lives again. You know, and you see this in the death of Stephen as they're stoning him, you know, those last words Father, you know, forgive them. Our last words of Jesus was, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And we hear Stephen asking for forgiveness for those who are persecuting and killing them. And then he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And all you can see is Jesus living again. And that's what it's all about, Christians. You know, to become a saint is to let Jesus live again in our hearts and let him shine through. And he wants to give us so much that he gives us two hands, one to receive and one to give. And it's just like, you know, be careful how we treat people, because it may be the only gospel that they ever read, the only Bible that they ever read. And people can see Jesus in us. I heard a wonderful story. Father Rossi here, St. Gabe's, was, I think it was this past Sunday. And my sisters have stopped over, and I was talking to them. They were telling me about the homily. But the homily was about a man, a homeless person. And this man, Bob, he took care of a homeless person. Bob would take them in, give them shelter, even wash them, visit them, you know, when they were sick, take care of them. And this kind of mentally challenged man, he just was so impressed with Bob, you know, and so moved with Bob that he really loved Bob, seeing all these wonderful gifts. So, but anyway, Bob died, and they had the funeral mass. And during the homily, the homeless person's in the back, and he's crying out, you know, I want to be like Bob. I want to be like Bob. I want to be like Bob. And he was really interrupting the homily and distracting the preacher, the priest. And so the priest had to stop and say, why don't you want to be like Jesus? And the homeless person said, was he like Bob? And that whole story, you know, about how people can see Jesus in one another when we're being virtuous, when we're being kind, when we're being compassionate, when we're being patient, when we're being non-judgmental, when we're sacrificing for others, when we're loving others, when we're forgiving others. We're being like Jesus. It's Jesus doing it in us, and we see that in the life of Stephen. Just also another story. It was a priest meditation, probably a vision that the priest had. It was about when St. Paul was decapitated, and he went up to heaven, and Stephen's already there, and he's walking, kind of like putting his head back on and walking in the midst of the heavenly court with the Trinity and Mary and all the saints. But here comes Stephen out of the crowd, and in the middle, here comes Stephen, there goes Paul, and they're approaching one another, and there's this big embrace, you know. Nothing like, I'm sorry what I did. It's just, you know, it's all forgotten. It's all over. You know, it's just total forgiveness, total mercy, total love. You know, that's what Jesus brings to each and every one of us. He brings us himself. He brings us compassion, forgiveness, mercy, and transforming love. And he always says, what you receive as a gift now, you give as a gift. We have so much to give because we have received so much at our baptism, at confirmation, at the Eucharist, at adoration, at confession. We receive Jesus, and we receive all that is his to give what we receive.
Amen.
Bob, was he like Jesus? I love that story.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. So St. Stephen on Tuesday, followed up on Wednesday, and another character, St. John, who we could talk about for a couple of days, but we only got about 3 minutes left, Father. So,
oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I was just going to say, John's one of the gospel writers. Always, you know, struck me. I always thought that he was like Jesus' favorite son, right? He's the even refers to himself as the beloved one, the one that was loved. And what I always thought was interesting about John was that, you know, at the crucifixion, when Jesus would say to he and his mother, you know, mother, behold your son, behold your mother. And John would take her into his house. And I would, for that reason, I've always been jealous of John. You know, you get to spend, probably some 40 years with the Blessed Mother, you know, until they would, eventually leave Jerusalem and head off to Turkey in present-day Ephesus and live out their days. I thought it would be pretty cool to be a fly on the wall for all those years and hear those conversations between John and Mary.
Yeah. Well, John, you know, the Gospel of John canon was always on the Word becoming flesh, the divinity of Christ. John is the eagle. It soars because all John writes about is that Jesus is God, and he does it in, you know, everything that Jesus does, changing water into wine. He controls nature, calms the storms, gives sight to the blind, makes the cripples walk, raises the dead, even the agony in the garden. You know, where's Jesus of Nazareth? He takes the ego a me, I am, not I am he, I am. He takes God's name from the burning bush. You know, who should I send? Moses says, who should I say send me? Tell them I am, ego a me, that I am. And John and Jesus takes that name, and the soldiers fall back with their faces to the ground. But anyway, I know we're running out of time. I want to end with this story. John, in his old age, in his 90s, he always gave the same homily. He would always say, love one another, up each homily. And then someone finally went to him and said, John, why do you repeat the same thing over and over again, love one another? He said, it's what the master taught over and over again. Love one another, and it is enough. Love, Ken. God is love. That's what John tells us in his letters. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love one another, and we will be abiding in God and God in us.
It's beautiful, isn't it? And, well, we do have a minute left, and I do, again, want to express from all of us here and in his sign, but in particular from myself and Father McKay, the best wishes for a merry and happy and holy and healthy Christmas Day. And a happy and healthy 2018. Like I said, we're not going to be with you live next week. We'll get one of our recordings put on, so we'll be here, but don't try to call in. And Father, whatever wishes you have before you give us your blessing.
Yeah, I just want to say to all of our listeners, I'm so happy that, you know, and for you too, Ken, that you and I are on this program every week, and we learn so much too about the saints. But also just helping me and just, you know, this burning love that we have for the Lord to be able to express it and to talk about it. But as a gift to all the listeners, I'd just like to let them know that I'll be offering a Mass for all the listeners for during that octave of Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all of our listeners, to you, Ken. Also to the staff, Kathleen, Frank, who's on every day. They'll be in my prayers in a special way. So God bless you all. Okay.
Very good.
Just a blessing, Ken?
Please.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Merry Christmas to each and everyone.
And to all a good night. But don't go away. We got another hour.
God bless.
We got another hour. Stick around. Hopefully I'm going to be joined in the next few minutes by Edward Feaser, and we'll be talking about his book, The Five Proofs of the Existence of God. Don't go away.